Will you take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 420. Join us as we stand together and sing, "Lead On, O King Eternal." Will you bow in prayer with me? Grant us this day, O Lord, in thought that we might have faith, in word that we might have wisdom, in deed that we might have courage, in life that we might be of service through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I've been asked to announce that there will be a social for students and faculty, 10 o'clock Friday in the cafeteria. There'll be donuts, coffees. It's a freebie. Let me invite you to attend, and especially the new students, a chance not only to enjoy the exquisite cuisine of our cafeteria, but a chance to meet the faculty as well. Becky Landrum will come this morning and read for us the scripture that will be the basis of our time of devotion and meditation this morning. Becky.
Reading from the Gospel of Luke 19, 28 through 41. And when he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village opposite, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this, 'The Lord has need of it.'" So those who were sent went away and found it as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their garments on the colt, they set Jesus upon it. And as he rode along, they spread their garments on the road. As he was now drawing near at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that even today you knew the things that made for peace. But now they are hid from your eyes."
In 1964, I journeyed with my older brother and sister to the big city of New York, and there, among other things, attended the World's Fair. Among the booths that we looked at, the places that we had a chance to see, was the exhibit put on by the National Council of Churches where they're showing a film entitled The Parable. It's made its rounds, and I'm sure you have seen it as well. I remember at the time, and since then, I was terribly shocked and bothered by what was pictured in the movie. Jesus appeared as a clown. The story begins with an elephant keeper struggling to get water to his elephants. The clown comes along and gives him some help. The next scene, you see a black man sitting in the dunking booth, people viciously throwing the baseballs to knock out the bullseye, and the man gets wet. The clown steps in and takes his place. Next, you see him taking the place of a woman being used in one of the sideshows. The circus manager gets quite angry, strings him up in the middle of the circus tent and torments him. And in the last scenes, you see the elephant keeper, the black man, the lady who had been abused, sitting down caring for one another, the circus leaving town, and the clown in his painted white face riding behind on the back of a donkey. That bothered me when I saw that. I was repulsed by the fact that Jesus would be pictured as a clown, and bothered by the fact that a man of religion would be seen in such a playful role and riding on the donkey at the back of a circus. But perhaps it bothered me seeing Jesus pictured as so humble because of my pride. Perhaps it bothered me seeing Jesus being made the fool because of my own image. Perhaps it bothered me seeing Jesus so hated because of my own popularity. Seeing that film began a transition in my life that is still going on. Part that I want to share with you, that I would suggest of all of the lessons that you will learn in your class time here at the seminary, one of the most important will be learning how to ride on the back of a donkey. The storyline that Becky has read for us is one that's very familiar to you. It's feast time, and the time has come for Jesus to make his entrance into the city of Jerusalem. Previous preparations are made. He sends his disciples to bring the colt, the young donkey, and then he sets forth in a dramatic parable and story his entrance into the city. Imagine the people as they begin to line the sides of the road. The Jesus man, the Messiah, is going to be coming into town. You know the healer of Lazarus. He's going to be coming in today. You know the miracle worker. He's going to be coming into town today. You know the great preacher of Galilee. He's coming in just a minute. You know the man that they say walked on water, who changed water into wine, the one who's given sight to the blind. That man is coming into town today. And the crowds lined the road, waving their costly branches, throwing their clothes in front of him, repeating the chants of Messiahship from the Psalms. Today is the day of our salvation. And then, expecting a king on a great chair, expecting a warrior on the back of a mighty horse, or expecting a chieftain on the back of a golden chariot, imagine their surprise. Down the road comes the Jesus man on the back of a donkey, crying out his eyes. He comes on a donkey into Jerusalem. Picture, if you will, what might have been going on in his thoughts at that time. What would have been his attitude as he came into Jerusalem on that day? First and most obviously, he came as a man of peace, one with love at the very center of his being. He came to proclaim, "My kingdom is one of peace, where there is mutual love among all persons." Verse 38 of what we read, 19th chapter of Luke, is almost an exact parallel to the message of the angels at the birth of this Jesus man, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. He comes with obvious reference to Zechariah 9:9. When the king goes forth to war, he'll be on the back of a horse. But when the Messiah comes in peace, he'll come on the back of a donkey. There's one time in the Old Testament when royalty sat on the back of a donkey. Not the mighty warriors, but Solomon as he rides toward Jerusalem himself to proclaim a kingdom of peace, sets himself on the back of a donkey, proclaiming that now a new era of peace, of love between all persons, is to begin. But that was not the expectation of the people in that day. They expected a mighty warrior. They expected a political Messiah. They wanted someone to fight their cause, not to proclaim a kingdom of peace. It's been like that ever since. For we've never learned the lesson that we sang just a few moments ago. Not with swords loud clashing or roll of stirring drums, but with deeds of love and mercy, thy heavenly kingdom comes. When Jesus came, he came in peace. And when Jesus came, he came in humility. The passage from Zechariah talks about the king coming in triumphant and victorious, but also talks about his humility, riding on the back of an ass as well. It also speaks of a shepherd smitten on behalf of his sheep. Jesus had in mind as he was coming into Jerusalem that day, consciously, I think, and there's no other way to interpret the passion narratives of the Gospels, the suffering servant motif from the prophet Isaiah. He comes in all humility. There were other ways to express his authority that he could have taken up, but he had already rejected them in the temptation scenes early in his ministry. Give people what they want. There is your authority. Give them bread. Give people a show. Perform the miracle. That's what they want. Command them to obedience. Force them into submission. Then you'll gain your authority. But those methods had been rejected by Christ, and instead, he's riding a donkey, looking foolish, appearing lowly. In stark contrast to all the pomp and royalty, Jesus comes on the back of a donkey with tears in his eyes, portraying what was soon to happen in his mock coronation with a royal robe put on his shoulders by the mocking soldiers, with a crown pressed upon his brow and his mock throne of a cruel cross. He rides to his coronation on the back of a donkey. No one in that crowd understood the purpose of Jesus Christ that day. As he rode to Jerusalem, he completely upset their idea of what the Messiah was to be. But in every age, we need to push through the crowd and to see the Messiah, not on the back of the chariot, but crying on the back of a donkey. He came in peace. He came in humility, and he also came ready to pay a very heavy price. Look, the audacity of the act that day. We know from the Gospels that Jesus Christ was under the ban of the Jewish hierarchy. If anyone knew of his presence, it was to be reported that he might be arrested. And yet here are the disciples bringing him into the city in a triumphant entry. The events of that last week, he would face arrest. He would wash feet. He would be betrayed. He would carry a cross. You see, there's a high price for riding donkeys. And tears came to his eyes. The Son of God in tears, the wandering angels see. Be thou astonished, O my soul, those tears he shed for thee. We never understood the price there is to pay for riding on the back of a donkey. He came in peace. He came in humility, and he came ready to pay a very heavy price. If that was what was going on in his mindset that day as he enters into the city, I would suggest we begin as young ministers to apply that to our own lives. Soren Kierkegaard has said that nothing is more dangerous to true Christianity, nothing is more contrary to the nature of our faith than to get people to assume light-mindedly the name of Christian, as if it were just something you were as a matter of course. Oh, we picture ourselves riding toward Jerusalem. We picture ourselves going triumphantly toward the holy city. Yet on that donkey, we try and carry our hate and our anger. We try and carry with us a lack of peace at the very center of our lives. On the back of that donkey, we carry our pride rather than our humility. And on the back of the donkey, we think we can get in without ever paying a price. We want to ride with hate and anger, but you can't ride a donkey that way. Father Delp, in his prison meditations, gives us a very eerie warning. He says, in the last 50 years, we have crossed the mysterious limit set by Providence. We've entered into a new era. We have, in one sense, passed the point of no return. At the point of the beginning of the end, there has been a violent disruption of society, a radical overthrow of Christian culture. The patterns of Christianity have all but collapsed. We're in an age of aggression, assertion of power. In such an age, we need to learn to ride a donkey in peace, and only that can make the difference. One of the many scary episodes of my youth occurred when I was about 6 years old and gone fishing with my older brother and several friends on another family's large houseboat. It accommodated about 15 of us, so large that there were holes in the bottom of the hull through which you could fish at night or when it was cold. I got up during the night, as young boys will do. All the lights were out, and I slipped through one of those holes in the bottom of that large houseboat. Everything above me was completely black, and very little chance, I would imagine, of coming up in the right place, except my brother did the one thing that could have helped. He immediately lit an old kerosene lantern, set it over the hole, and stuck his hand through the darkness. Love can do that as well. Being the sight of the light that brings release from a cycle of hatred and the helping hand that comes down to grasp and bring one to a whole new way of a loving lifestyle. We need to learn to ride the back of a donkey coming in peace. And we need to learn to ride without pride That's the first problem with our sin, isn't it? Our own ego. Imagine the humor in our day, much more so than in Jesus' day, being proud to ride a donkey. Pastored for a while, for 3 years, in Shelby County, Kentucky. One of our church members there had an old pony by the name of Brownie. Brownie was the fattest animal I've ever seen in all my life. There was simply no way to get your legs far enough apart to sit on top of old Brownie. And if you got on top of the animal, just the slightest movement and you would slip right off one side or the other. You could not look like the proud Lone Ranger riding on the back of Brownie. But a lot of us try that foolish act ourselves with the pride that we invest in our religious authority, wanting to go toward Jerusalem with pride, riding on the back of a donkey. Even the elements of our communion scream out against such attempts. The grapes must be crushed before the wine can be made. The grain must be ground before the bread is available. And our lives must be crushed and ground too before they are available for service in the kingdom. We cannot ride on the back of a donkey with pride. And oh, how we want to ride without paying the cost. I think if you look at the great religious thinkers of our tradition, they say almost to a person that to be a follower means to give up ownership of oneself. You can trace it from the writings of Paul through Augustine, through Calvin, to the great devotional thinkers of our own day, the words, "I am not my own." And oh, the great freedom of servanthood that the paradox of faith offers to those who are ready to pay the price of giving themselves up to the servanthood of the kingdom. Last summer, I had the chance to get very well acquainted with Tony Campolo, who teaches at Eastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He talked of a trip he had made down to the Dominican Republic, an attempt to set up a program where some of the seminarians and students he was working with could get some firsthand knowledge of the devastation in the Third World. Tony talked about how he went down there to an isolated mountain village and spent a week with a priest in that community. Every morning they would make the rounds of the community, picking up the bodies of the children and people that had died from malnutrition or disease during the night, take them out to the edge of town with an entourage of crying family members, and there have a burial service. Every day in the village started like that. Time came for him to leave. It was a time of terrible drought in the area, a great deal of heartache physically and spiritually as well. He heads out toward the plain that had come to the small grass meadow to pick him up. A mother with a starving baby clasped to her broken breast comes out to the little meadow with a very simple request of Tony, "Would you give me something for my baby?" He walks away. She comes again, "Won't you do something to help my baby?" He walks faster to the plane. He reaches for the handle of the plane and begins to get in, and she begins to yell out, "Do something to help me with my child." And as he closes the door, she screams as loud as her weak voice can, "Would you take my baby that it might live?" The plane takes off, and Tony tells how up in the sky, he is in tears, in shock, and completely distraught when suddenly it occurs to him who that was back there on that bare breast. That was Jesus Christ, it occurred to him. "For as I've done it unto the least of these my brethren, I've done it unto him." You need to be ready to pay the cost. You need to be ready to involve yourselves in the work of the things of this world. You need to be ready to see your life as a chance for Jesus Christ to again serve this world. And you need to see your service as a chance to show your love to the Christ all around you. We need to be ready to pay the price. How to ride a donkey? We need to ride with peace in our hearts. How to ride a donkey? It can only be done in humility. How to ride a donkey? It can only be done when we're ready to to pay the price. Shall we pray? Teach us, good Lord, to serve Thee as Thou deservest, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and to ask for no reward save that of knowing that we do the will of Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us, Father, as we learn to ride a donkey. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.